This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew 9:9 through 13, 18 through 26. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at the dinner of the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly the leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute player and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The year was 2006 when everything changed in my life, or that's how it felt at least. I had graduated high school and went off to college. My friends group changed, and suddenly I was surrounded by people who did not know what it meant to grow up in Lee Summit, Missouri. I was suddenly surrounded by people who were very different than me. They came from all over. They came from very different walks of life and often acted, looked, and believed very differently than me. When I got to college, I did not know a single person. And because of that, it was very easy to feel alone, to feel like an outsider. And I often did. By the time I went off to college, I had already found God and had fallen in love with the church. In fact, in June of 2007 was when I first had my first church job as an intern under the youth coordinator for the Episcopal Diocese of West Missouri. It's crazy to think that's almost been 20 years now. It was also these years at college that I started to really realize that not all churches, and with them, not all people, thought the same about gay people, same-sex relationships, and non-cisgender individuals. I was very fortunate to grow up in a church that did not seek to put people in boxes, but the same could not be said about all of my friends. I quickly began to realize that some of the people I knew attended churches and organizations where you needed to act or look or love a certain way. And if you did not, you better believe they'd let you know and would make sure that they would make you feel like the outsider. The crazy thing was, I could not understand why. I was already working for the church. I grew up in church, grew up reading stories like Ken read for us this morning, and was already a serious church nerd. That hasn't changed. And I could not, for the life of me, figure out how people justified hating and judging people and putting people in boxes when they read stories like this. I often said to myself, make it make sense. It just doesn't. When I went off to college and many other times in my life, I have felt like an outsider or an outcast. And I'm sure every single person in this room can say the same in one way or another. To feel like an outsider, whether in reality or just in your head, instantly changes how you feel, think, and act. You instantly put guards up. Studies have shown that social survival is so hardwired into our biology that feelings of not belonging or of being an outsider trigger the same neurological pathways as physical pain, literally causing a wound of sorts. This biological reaction can automatically trigger the fight and flight mode and push you to run away or even avoid situations that make you feel like this. But in some cases in life, that's just not possible. And I have found that being openly gay and working for a church is one of those situations. Some people just don't care, and then there are those people who will make sure that they don't approve. The parallels of this reality in today's world and the story that Ken read for us in Matthew are uncanny. The author of the gospel, Matthew, was labeled as an outsider in many regards. Matthew was a tax collector. And while I can't imagine that in today's world, if you told people that you worked for the IRS, it would probably not be a huge hit at the party. But being a tax collector in Jesus' time was a one-way ticket to be an outcast and literally avoided by society. As a tax collector, you would be ostracized both culturally and religiously. As an employee of the Roman government, it would be thought that you directly betrayed your Jewish neighbors by showing your support to the oppressor. You would also be part of a long-standing system where while the government demanded a set rate, as the tax collector, you could set your own rate, becoming rich by extorting your own people. And many did. That said, tax collectors were not very liked. And then in this story, we are shown Jesus doesn't care. Jesus shows up and rather than avoiding the tax collector, Matthew, calls Matthew to come and follow him. And he immediately follows. But not only follows, but Matthew becomes one of Jesus' closest disciples, being part of the inner circle and going on to write this gospel. This story is literally life-changing to Matthew. This is the point where he is called and it completely changes his life. He gives up everything to follow Jesus. But Matthew does something very intentionally to make a very big point. This story, which Matthew's life is completely and utterly changed, he makes sure that it doesn't focus on him. And instead, he actually goes out of his way to make sure that it's not about him. In this story where Matthew's life whole life changes, Matthew mentions himself once and only once, and then immediately changes the focus. We immediately shift to the Pharisees, the church leaders, questioning why Jesus is eating a meal with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus gives the perfect answer here, and I just love it. Jesus responds in verses 12 and 13, "With those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what that means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I desire mercy, not sacrifice. As I was studying this passage for this morning, I kept coming back to this response from Jesus to the Pharisees. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And digging into this a little bit, It turns out that this is not just a turn of phrase from Jesus. He's actually quoting the Old Testament. Jesus is quoting from the book of Hosea, where in Hosea 6:6 it reads, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice." Now, if you're really paying attention, you might quickly realize that those are not the same thing. Jesus via Matthew uses the word mercy, but in Hosea, the prophet uses the phrase steadfast love. But here's the thing. Jesus did not misquote Hosea. To fully understand, you have to go back to the original Hebrew, where you will find the exact same word in both of these passages. And that word is hesed. The word hesed is a very important word in the Old Testament. It's used hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the Bible, including more than 100 times in the book of Psalms alone. The struggle when translating the Bible is that some of these words, like hesed, there's no direct English translation. While in many places in the Bible it's translated to mercy, it's also found as steadfast love, goodness, kindness, compassion, and loyalty. And in other words, this phrase, Jesus is saying that God desires mercy, kindness, goodness, loyalty, and steadfast love, not sacrifice. Now, that's not to say that sacrifice is not important to God. In other places in the text, we are called to give of our time, talents, and treasure. But these are less important, less fundamental than love, mercy, and kindness. But Jesus is reminding the Pharisees that they are not being kind. They're not showing love, breaking what's most important to God by questioning from the very beginning why Jesus is eating with people that they deem as outsiders and as sinners. And just like that, then we see the narrative change. Jesus does this, you know, mic drop center stage of knowledge, and then meaning-filled response to the Pharisees, and then Matthew turns the story on its head, forcing the narrative in a totally different direction. Matthew shifts to two other stories. One of the woman who is healed when she touches the fringes of Jesus' cloak, and Jesus' healing of the daughter of the synagogue leader. Now, interestingly enough, these stories can be found in the Gospels of Mark and Luke as well, but only in Matthew are they found on the same page in the same chapter altogether. And because of this, we can assume that Matthew wants us to draw some parallels between these stories. All of these stories, when you take them at their base, involve the sick or sinners, ones who society would have labeled as unclean, as unfit, as outsiders and outcasts. And despite this label by society, Jesus comes into their lives and completely changes it. Through mercy and healing, Jesus causes their lives to do a complete 180. As Chelsea Harmon, pastor at Christ Community Church in Nanaimo, British Columbia, wrote, "In these short verses, we have a vocational 180, a restoration, and a resurrection. We have various kinds of people shown mercy by Jesus Christ, a despised tax collector, an unclean woman, a dead child, a respectable religious leader. They were all sick or sinners in different ways, healed by Jesus. Each story involves simple faith and action that result in new possibilities for life, wholeness, and purpose. Because of Jesus, everything changed for them. May it so be for us." Church, this morning we are called to practice a new radical love of Jesus. Love shown to all, not just some, in the kingdom of God. There are no outsiders. This weekend, as Vi mentioned just a few minutes ago, our church demonstrated this in a very different way. some of our congregation showed up to represent our church at the Kansas City Pride Festival. For decades, many churches, communities have worked to make the LGBTQIA community feel like outsiders. And I have certainly felt my own share of that. But our church is showing up to change that narrative, and I can't be more proud. We are showing up at places like Pride Festivals to remind people that there are no outsiders in the kingdom of God, that we are all children of God. Just like Matthew, and just like all of the kids in the story that I read during children's time, just like the sick woman, there is a place for everyone in God's kingdom. And with this reminder from Matthew's story, we are reminded to put that in action in the world. We are reminded in this story that we need to shift our focus, that instead of fighting over if certain people belong or have a place in God's kingdom, that there are no outsiders in the kingdom. And instead, we should be asking the question, how do we show that in this world? How do we live that out in this world? And it starts with being different. One concept that I often teach about at work, and we saw lived out in this book in children's time, there has to be action to show and demonstrate this love. To do that, we work to create a culture of belonging. A sense of belonging, the opposite of feeling like an outsider, only comes when we embrace, welcome, encourage, value, and foster diversity. That's where people can be their true, authentic self. And then take it a step further and make sure that all are heard, seen, and valued. I think our church does a really good job at this, but we still have a long way to come as a society. Church, let's continue to fight to be different. Change that narrative and to remind people that there are no outsiders in the kingdom of God, that all are truly welcomed, called, and needed to be a part of the kingdom. And everyone has a seat at God's table. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all together today from wherever we are and whoever we are. God, we pray that this is a reminder that we all have a seat at God's table and that we all have a place in God's kingdom. May we, as we leave this building, go forth to demonstrate that in our daily lives, showing each and every person that they are loved and they are valued. In your holy name we pray. Amen.